And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening, everybody. It's March 1st, 2016, and you're tuned to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, the Cradle Catholic.
And I'm Mark Barthelemy, the Convert.
Hey, last week's guest, Mark, we had on was talking to us about Parkinson's, John Kiley.
Yeah, John Kiley.
You had a little thing you wanted to mention about a 5K run that they're having
up
in Forsyth.
I do. You know, John mentioned, Dave, that he had formed a group here, a local group.
Yeah, a support group.
Parkinson's disease support group. And they're having their second annual run-walk, 5K. It's 5K run and a one-mile walk, which will kick off for Parkinson's Awareness Month, which he's told was in April. So on April 2nd, they're going to have this at Forsyth Park. And all the proceeds from the race are going to go to Parkinson's research. And so that's a great cause. They have to have your registration by March 11th, 2016.
Ooh, that's coming up.
Yep. If you want to guarantee a shirt. Online registration is going to close on March 31st, but you can still register at packet pickup on the day of the event with cash or check only. For more information on this, it's real important, including scholarship, sponsor, or volunteer opportunities. Here's their website, folks. Grab your pen, and I know you take notes throughout this show.
They better.
Everything we give you is so valuable. Write this down. It's www.run2beatpd.com. That's run2beatpd.com.
All right, awesome. Hey, have you been receiving a lot of phone calls at home lately?
Oh, gee. Yeah, the area codes. You know, I'm always answering Washington, D.C. because I'm thinking the president one of these days is going to ask me for my opinion on something. And no, it's some robot that's...
Well, you know, I'm getting the robot calls, but I'm also getting the fraud calls. The IRS
is always calling
wanting my money, and
yeah.
Mount Zion police have a warrant.
Sheriff's office.
IRS,
yeah, they got warrants, yeah. Half the time that's true, though.
But right now, you know, because we're 2 weeks away from the Illinois primary election, which will be on March 15th, that's why we're getting a lot of these calls.
Yeah.
So to hash out some of the issues we're facing in the 2016 election, we've invited our favorite political expert to join us tonight, Professor Larry Klugman. Professor Klugman.
Well, thank you, son.
He teaches political science at Richland Community College. He's a Central Illinois fella from Rantoul, Illinois.
That's right.
Was your father in the Air Force?
No, he was not. He was. My father came to Rantoul 6 weeks before Pearl Harbor. He and my mom started a restaurant, and it was the only restaurant in town, and it was quite an experience.
Well, I know you've got a bachelor's degree from Truman State and a master's from the University of Central Missouri.
Right.
Now, Mark and I, we've known Professor Klugman for many years. We've been colleagues at Richland Community College, and
yes.
I got to add that Professor Klugman was my political science teacher at the Community College of Decatur.
My gosh, how old are you, Larry? I never dreamed.
I didn't either. I'm still breathing.
We're about the same age.
Yeah,
we're about the same age. Yeah. You were downtown. Yes,
that was back in the good old days.
You know, half of my class were cops, and once in a while they let me teach.
Yeah, we had to take that class.
I think I had Coventry in the class, and all the guys.
Yeah, you weren't teaching social stuff or something.
Yeah,
they taught the whole thing.
Now I got to say, WDCR, nor the hosts of this show can or will endorse any political party tonight or any candidate.
You mean on the air?
Right.
Oh, okay.
But maybe Professor Klugman can help us hash out some of the issues that do affect us as voters in general. So welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you so very much, guys.
Good to see you again.
I am in friends here, two great guys, and then you're in a labyrinth down here. I've been in a bomb shelter before. I've actually gone inside of a hole where they launched the guided missiles.
The silos.
Yeah, you know, I went down to one in the Whiteman Air Force Base outside of Kansas City.
Yeah.
But this beats them all. This is down here.
Yeah, we are down here.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We're right next to the cafeteria, which is great.
That's a good deal. One-stop shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
So out at Richland these days, I imagine politics is always a subject that's talked about. I'm interested to know, Larry, about the students, the millennials, and what are they talking about with this primary election coming up?
All right. We have to go back and say to ourselves, those of us who teach are lucky enough to be taught because I've learned a lot from my students. And these students today, I'll tell you the first thing, they are not necessarily aligned to one party. They are aligned to two things. Number one is integrity, and number two is choice. And you put those two together, that means you cannot say, are you a this or a that? You just simply have to say to them, here are the people. Have you evaluated them yet? Which one do you like?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, do you know what that happens to be? Oh, really? Okay, fine. That's fine.
It
happens to be a Democrat or Republican. Right.
Wow.
The whole idea of the party leads in terms of the party brand, that's over. What you're seeing right now in this country is something absolutely amazing. The pundits haven't flipped into it yet. for about 25 years, the largest emerging political subgroup in this country. It's not been one of the major parties. It's been the moderate, independent, non-aligned voter.
Wow.
The person who says, you can't type me. I vote for people in both parties.
Right.
That's now to the tune of about 44%.
Wow.
That's something.
Yeah, it is.
I remember when I was at Richland a few years ago working, there was all of the kids seemed to love Ron Paul, and he was kind of an out-there, independent kind of guy. But that stuck with me, you know, even to this day, that those kids were not going down political lines, it didn't seem like.
They loved Ron Paul. They loved Bernie. You know, feel the burn.
Yeah, feel the burn.
Because Bernie does not talk about the implementation as much as he talks about the goal.
Right.
And, you know, in terms of them following a traditional candidate, they love Trump, and the reason they love Trump is the same reason a lot of their parents like the guy. And what Trump is a phenomenon. Donald Trump could step aside and say, I'm going to run as an independent, and he would take most of the people with him. He could say, I'm going to run as a Republican or a Democrat. He'd have most of the people with him. He could do anything but except become a Buddhist monk and still probably not lose much. And the thing about Trump is what's compelling about him is he's selling himself. We live in an era where everybody is a personality, instant communication. And the Republican Party has a dilemma, and their dilemma is that inside their party there's a split. There's a split between the establishment, and the establishment is scared to death that Trump is the one the people like.
Almost like the neocons.
Sure.
Right. And then you've got the people on the right, which would be Cruz and to some extent Rubio. Rubio is still – I always thought Rubio is the perfect number two, but he's running as number one. And then what you've got – is the establishment candidates that have gone down in flames. The best establishment candidate is the dynasty or dynasty of the Bush family.
Right,
yeah.
The only person I think that's going to survive this cut is Kasich. I'm convinced that John Kasich, the reason that Trump has not picked on this guy, and the reason I don't think he will, I'd be very surprised if he did, I think it's going to end up, if Trump gets the nod, it'll be Trump-Kasich on the
really?
Ticket.
No kidding.
Because no Republican has won the presidency in the 20th century, 21st now, without taking Ohio, and he's the governor
right,
of Ohio.
Ohio's huge.
Good point.
Well, Larry, the other thing I want to discuss with you is the Electoral College.
Oh, boy.
Is the Electoral College outdated? I know several years ago we had a president win the Electoral College that didn't win the popular vote.
Right.
And the way it's set up, it confuses me. Can you explain to our listeners?
The reason the Electoral College was set up, we'll go in a little constitutional history here.
Okay, good.
When the Constitution was written, on a 1 to 10, 90% of the effort of the Constitution is Congress. Roughly 7% is the presidency and 3% is Supreme Court. The irony is the Supreme Court has emerged as the most powerful branch. It has the most long-term effect. And when they got down to the presidency, they kept hearing the word king. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And then finally they got to the point, what if the people start nominating several people to run and we'll never have a conferred majority? The Electoral College is like the circuit breaker in your home. When you get foolish and hook up 45 irons to the thing, it's going to blow and keep your house from burning down. And the Electoral College serves the function of the circuit breaker. Do you know that electors are not pledged? In other words, you can go in and vote for whoever you want. Now, you're not supposed to. That's called a faithless elector.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the Electoral College goes in and confers a majority in such an extraordinary way that only running the dynamics of the Electoral College is how you win. And I'll give you a number that absolutely floors me every time I say it. What are the big electoral states?
Florida and Ohio.
Yep.
California, New York. Illinois, I think, has got quite a few.
Probably Arizona. Texas.
Yeah, Texas. You guys are pretty good. Now let me ask you a question. Where do Hispanics live?
Everywhere right now. You know, we've got a large contingency in Illinois. Yep. Texas has got a lot. Florida, the Southwest,
Mexico,
you know,
Arizona.
The Southwest.
80% of all Hispanics in America live in the top 10 electoral states.
Wow.
Go eat that one up. And that means in a close, tight election, that's a swing vote.
Yeah, I guess.
And so when you look at Cruz and Rubio, they have some built-in advantage, which hasn't worked for them yet. They haven't energized it yet. But the Electoral College is to confer a majority so that we'll never be hung out there to dry, as we almost were with Bush Gore.
Right.
Yeah,
and that
Chad
was tough.
Deal.
Yeah.
But let's take a lesson in Bush versus Gore. There's only one reason that George Bush became president, not Al Gore. And it's not 524 votes. It's 97,000 votes to the guy named, and what was his name? Nader.
Ralph off. Nader?
Oh, yeah.
Third party.
Yeah.
Siphoned off the.
Yeah, and he was a Democrat, natural Democrat. So if half of those votes, that would have been almost 45,000 votes, if 0.1%, he'd still pull the seat. And so that's where it comes down to.
Wow.
You have a third party, and it goes that way.
Yeah.
That's wild.
There's a lot of wild stuff going on right now. This is a crazy time.
And, Larry, if I just understood what you said a minute ago, they're not pledged. So, I mean, they can actually just take the ball and run in their own direction.
Right, if they need to make a better choice than we made.
And what's a superdelegate?
A superdelegate, this is what happened. The Democrats got all infused with democracy, and a while back, and they decided... this was a democracy. And they did the same thing in Electoral College. It goes like this. What if we give everybody proportional representation, which means... What if somebody stands up and they get 3% of the vote? Well, that could deadlock the convention. We wouldn't get a majority. Well, let's give superdelegates. These are special party people that come in at the last minute, and they all get together and throw their votes to make it a majority.
I see.
That's how it works.
In concurrence, I take it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just seems like every year politics gets nastier and nastier.
Because we demand
personal attacks are so...
Well, are we not a rude society?
We are becoming very, very rude. A lot of it is because we've listed all the barriers. Okay, these barriers were put there by people who thought there ought to be a limit to what you can say when you engage in something as noble as politics.
Noble.
We have now decided that politics is not noble, and we're a captive of the 24/7 news cycle. There was a film years ago, won Academy Awards, swept the Academy Awards, first and only time. Well, second now they've done it with Heath Ledger, but the first time they ever gave the best actor to a person who was dead, and that was Peter Finch. And the movie was called Network.
That
was in the 70s. And it's the story of an independent TV station where the guy is fired and he goes crazy. And suddenly it turns into the hottest show on TV because he said, I'm going to kill myself in 2 weeks. Well, everybody watches him and he manages to stay alive and he rants and raves and screams and yells. And the short version of the story of that film is, news becomes entertainment. It's exactly what's happening.
Do
you think they're running these debates for our benefit? They're selling commercial time.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Now, in the state of Illinois, I don't know how they do voter ID where you go. I go into my polling place and I tell them my name. They find my page in the book. I sign my name and they let me vote. I suppose that's because I've registered and I do have a card, but they never ask. And I hear all these issues with voter ID and voting rights are not being fair because of voter ID. And I'm not sure I understand what that's all about.
Well, basically, I just saw a cartoon that flashed this morning on Facebook. There's funny things on Facebook. This is what living proof Osama bin Laden is definitely dead because he's applied for the vote in Chicago.
You mean he hasn't before?
No,
I'm shocked.
Actually, a couple of years ago, they're using the dead people in Chicago to apply for absentee ballots.
Well, of course.
Which I thought was pretty sophisticated. But voter ID is all about if you want to own an election, voter fraud occurs at that point where if there are 400 people that register to vote and there are 400 people to vote, you better have the match at both ends. You better have 400 different humans that show up at one end with 400 different ballots that are anonymous at the other end. They want to make sure the person who is showing you that is who they say they are with voter ID, picture registration, all that. So you just can't bounce around town and vote early and vote often.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Well, listen, let's take a quick 30-second timeout here on The Cradle and the Convert with Professor Larry Klugman. And when we come back, we'll talk about some state issues, okay? We'll be right back.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, sitting here with Mark Barthelemy and our guest tonight, Professor Larry Klugman from Richland Community College. We're glad you're back with us. Professor Klugman, one of the things that has always kind of bothered me is the big split in state government, right? Right now, we haven't had a budget in 8 months, and I'm just wondering, is that ever going to come to fruition, and how do people reach across the aisle in this day and age when they just seem to hate each other?
Polarized, so polarized.
Brilliant. And that's a perfect lead-in, because here's what I think is going to happen. The governor is consistent. He said in his campaign, what'd he do?
Yep.
He said when he first got elected, he went all over the state saying what he plans on doing. He went ahead and did it. And, of course, we can pretty well anticipate Madigan's reaction to this whole deal. Now it comes down to it. He's sticking it hard, and it works like this. On a 1 to 10, what we've suffered so far, this is going to be a geometric progression. In the several months that we haven't had a budget, on a 1 to 10, we're at about a 4. Within the next month, we will jump to about a 6.5. 3 weeks after that, I'm just making this up as I go along, it might jump another 2 points. Because now the crunch is starting to be felt.
Absolutely.
Everybody's run Colleges. Out of their, they've exhausted their rainy day funds. This is where the governor needs to be. Now, the governor will eventually sell this message. There is compromise. There is hope. You know we're going to settle the budget. We need to reach across the table. Madigan has to give me some money before I give him some concessions.
Right.
And when it comes down to it, the governor's going to throw his hands up and say, folks, it's in your hands. You're the voters. There is an election coming this November. I'm not up for another 2 years, but the whole lower house is up now.
Yeah.
I need a little help. And if you think that this ought to be something settled by the legislature, I absolutely swear to you I will sign any bill that comes across my desk that has this and this and this. You need to go find people who believe that. That's what they ought to send me.
You know, Larry, that's a great point about the governor. He made no bones about what he was going to do. I mean,
right.
He repeated the same campaign speech the entire election cycle where he was saying, I'm going to change Springfield. I'm going to change the way we do business. You know, it's I'm going to do this and do that. And the majority voted him in office. So theoretically, that's what the people, as they're
right.
referred to, wanted from him. And he's holding true to what he said.
Yeah, and yes, and if you look back at that election, you'll discover that more Democrats crossed over to vote for him than Republicans
yes.
did cross over to vote for Quinn.
Right.
So, you know, he is that non-aligned. Then you have Mike Madigan, who's a very interesting figure. He's realized that I'm going to say a sentence that is redundant. It goes like this. People up north learn to depend on the Democratic Party. Democrats live, a lot of them, up north.
Right.
Same sentence. And that's all about gerrymandering, which is a term which means you get to essentially pick the voters that you want by drawing party boundary lines.
Right. That was another question I wanted to get to in a little bit. But I understand what you're saying. And this is a progression you feel that we're going to have to go through until it finally gets down to November when we have to elect
the
House of Representatives.
I'll be more blunt than that. If I were the governor, why in the world would I want to give now?
Yeah,
now
exactly.
Now it's starting to feel. Now it's squeezing. I mean, if you've got a guy that you're trying to question and you've got him sweating, he's been there 5 hours, it's getting close to break time.
Yeah. Exactly.
And now he's going to crack, but he's not going to do anything in the first 2 hours. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
it's getting right down to it now.
And, you know, you look at Eastern Illinois University's laying off 170
yeah.
employees, and
yep.
they really are hurting.
We're facing a similar situation.
Richland has gone through their rainy day fund. It's
Yes, we have.
It's tough times. You know, a lot of the social agencies and
I got to say that in all the years that I've watched political races, and I was a weird kid because I was interested in it when I was a kid even. You
that
know,
is weird.
Back to Kennedy.
Well, that's weird.
Hey,
yeah.
listen,
yeah, yeah.
I go back to the Kennedy and Nixon
You're not
days.
That old.
Oh, yes, I am.
All right.
I'm on Social Security, buddy. Hey, do
Are
the math.
Serious?
Yeah, do the math.
You look that good. That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
Well, I've been well preserved. Certain herbs and spices.
I understand, Colonel
yeah.
Sanders.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So, but anyway, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen things as polarized by party as it used to be. You know, and the change in America has been phenomenal in the voters alone. I mean, you know, it seems to me like it used to be
You're
easy
right.
to divvy it up. The union people, the farmers, all these people were diehard Democrats. Then you had the big business people smoking their cigars and wearing their spats and the
right.
smoke coming out of the chimneys. They were all Republicans and
yeah.
about big business. You know, now there's been a huge turn because the most unlikely people, well, these kids, you know, now if I'm going to listen to NBC or let me take that back, folks. We're not going to talk about individual networks, but if I'm going to listen to a national media talk about this, you know, this candidate over here in the Democratic Party has 99% of the youth behind him. But now, here I'm hearing that these millennials now, they're saying, no, we're after Trump because he just says what he thinks.
You'd be amazed at what the kids in the last 10 years. For example, you say, I think, do you want to work or do you just want to have on the dole, be on the handout? And they'll say they want to work. They're independent. Most of them have fond dreams. They very definitely are pro-family. And these are a different batch of kids right now. I'm really very impressed with them. But when we come down to what's going on in the state, it's not just a matter of being bipartisan because I've never seen them. I've been doing this since 1970,
mm-hmm.
and I've never seen two different sides past the point where they realized they'd have to get along with each other. There's what we call a zone of accommodation, which means we can fight, but at the end of the day, we've got to pull something out of the bag. We've gone past that point. This is getting mean and bitter and personal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. There's just no reaching across the aisle. And if the first one to blink, you know, gets called weak by their constituents.
Exactly.
And,
Oh, yeah.
It makes it difficult. Now, when we talked about gerrymandering, I know part of Decatur is in a district that stretches clear down to almost St. Louis.
Yeah.
Is there a fix for that? This is done every 10 years, is that right, at the census, by the power, party that's in power?
Right, and the Democrats have essentially all but one of them in the last 40 years owned it.
Right.
And what they do is they will draw it first to make sure they protect Democratic districts. And then where do they put the Republicans? They're usually downstate anyway, and so they'll have some big, juicy Republican districts down here. And they say they got to go somewhere. But what they do is they carve it out so that there are sufficient Democratic majorities in every district. And this is because we have so many people running unopposed because they can't
win
because they've got a carved-out district.
Yeah.
This will be changed with a computer or some system to draw new boundaries. And by the way, that's going to be on the ballot. There's so much talk
about it. You think
so? Oh, yeah. It'll be on the ballot as a constitutional issue. It has to be a constitutional amendment.
That leads me to my final question, and that's term limits. Are we ever going to see term limits? Because it's the people that have to vote for the term limits that don't want them, right, the legislators, unless can it be a constitutional.
It has to be constitutional. There's only one. In the U.S. government, there's only one term-limited person, and that's the President of the United States.
Right.
And in our government, there will be term limits eventually, but there's so many other things that can be done first. The problem with term limits is the strength is the weakness. You need at least 4 years to get your feel for what's going on. But after 8 or 10 years, you get too soft, you're not bringing in some new ideas, and you're too protecting.
Right.
And so, in fact, there's a discussion right now of making the Supreme Court appointee, which changing the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 18-year single term.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that yet.
Yeah. Because traditionally, they don't appoint somebody over 60 or 62. That'd take them to 80, and we've got some birds that are that old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, now, that's an interesting point there.
What is?
Justice Ginsburg is probably, she's the oldest.
82.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the appointee, right now they're kind of putting forward a governor, a Republican governor?
He's not going to go for it. There is an Indian who was on the circuit court. He was appointed in 2013. He has his appointment to the circuit court was 97-0.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, you got to argue that, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's a Democratic appointee, but they say, okay, we want to wait and get our shot. People don't realize how important the Supreme Court is.
Oh, yeah,
they tell
absolutely.
Us what the law. You guys know how
important. Yes, we do.
As the Catholic Church really knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Through the Affordable Care Act.
Exactly.
The Little Sisters of the Poor and the Catholic universities are in the Supreme Court now where there's liable to be a tie vote and it gets put off.
Now, Larry.
What that's in a tie vote, it gets affirmed by the lower court.
Right,
that's the appellate court.
So whatever the appellate court was, but they'll come up under a certiorari anyway, and that'll affirm the lower court opinion, and Democrats control 2-1.
Yeah.
Now, I threw out the term pro-life here a minute ago. Being as family-oriented as these younger voters are now, do you see them more pro-life?
They are pro-life, and they're also pro-capital punishment.
Wow.
Really?
See, is just
how
incredible.
How can you be both?
I asked them that, too.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, are we, and then when I do pro-life and pro-whatever in class, I turn to them and I say, I'm facing you, I'm pro-life, okay? Now I'm going to go, now tell me which way to move to be pro-choice. And I said, no, you got it wrong. If I turn backwards, I'm pro-death. Because pro-life is 90 degrees, 90 degrees, it can be either one.
Yeah, that's right.
But invariably, pro-choice means, you know, probably abortion.
Right.
And so we get off and talk about that. And then I love the challenge of kids thinking. And we get off on this idea, well, except rape or incest. And I said, and that's helping who, the child or the living?
Mm.
And so we go off that. And so there's plenty of discussion on it,
obviously. Oh, I bet. I bet. Oh,
yeah. Well, we got just another minute or two left in the show, Larry. Is there anything that we didn't bring up that you would like to mention here in the closing moments?
Be optimistic. Be hopeful. And stay involved. Please do not depend on just what you are fed. I mean that bluntly. On TV and whatnot, especially in commercials, to base your vote. Do some introspective thinking. And if you're getting a lot of robocalls and everything else, that probably means you voted in the primary.
Right.
Yeah.
And what that's going to do is tag you. And stay optimistic. And I just want to say from years and years and years of association with these two guys, they are good people.
They are you're good too people. Kind, sir.
There went your credibility. Now our viewers are all going, oh, we shouldn't have listened
all this time.
Gee whiz. Well, bless your heart, Larry.
Thank you very much.
That's very kind of you to say those things.
Well, Mark, I'm going to close tonight, and I've got a prayer here for the United States, if you think that would be appropriate.
Let's do it.
We'll finish with our prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibility that accompanies human freedom. Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will. Through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land, grant us the courage to reject the culture of death, lead us to the new millennium of life, and we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Larry,
amen.
Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Let's do this again.
It's good to see you.
Too long.
Absolutely.
All right, for the Cradle and the Convert tonight, that's it. Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.